appreciate that. We're in the Old Testament book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to read the first three verses for our text today. So if you'll find that and give you just a moment, if you're getting used to your Bible, you have to find the middle of the Bible. Psalms, go to your right. You'll come to Isaiah, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 61. So chapter 61, and we're reading verses 1 through 3. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And would you please join me on verse number 2 as I read from this passage, all right? Verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful today for your good blessing. Lord, thank you for good music and for these friends. I pray that you'll make their time with us special for them and for us. Now, Lord, please bless the message that we're about to hear. I pray that you'll have your way in the message. Our hearts will be ready to receive it. We'll thank you for it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated, Brother Larry. Y'all come sing one real quick for us, and then I'll get right into the message this morning from Isaiah 61. You enjoy the good song. As I said during Sunday school, Brother Larry's not a preacher. He doesn't preach. He sings, and so that's what we brought him here for, was to sing. So if you weren't here in Sunday school, his wife, their mom, died back in 03. They've been traveling and singing as a family since 1984. In fact, Lisa's accordion is almost 30 years old, right? That's what she was telling me earlier. And so they're going to sing, and then we'll get into the message this morning.
Jerusalem walked a man with head bowed low, holding in his arms a little lamb as white as snow. He feels condemned by his debt of sin as he reached the temple gate. Through tears of shame he watches as they make the sacrifice. As the blood is shed, he lifts his head, for he knows the price is paid. He feels redemption in his heart, and with a grateful voice he cries, "When God looks at me, he sees the lens, not what I..." A country church walks a man with trembling hand, 'cause he knows with all his heart he's been a weak and sinful man. But he'd heard the preacher talk about a place called Calvary, where the Lamb of God shed his blood for sinners such as he. Kneeling at the altar, he feels a great relief. He lifts his eyes toward the skies, and he shouts in victory, "When God looks at me, he sees Jesus, not what I am. It's time.
God bless you. Thank you, Brother Larry. Good song. And so true. Amen. That is a blessing. What a wonderful thing when God looks at you if you've been saved. He doesn't see the old sin, but He sees the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Wonderful. I want to talk about that this morning. In the message, they didn't know what I was going to preach on. Had no idea. And of course, I don't know what they're going to sing. But I want to talk about that a little bit. God's exchange offer. I want you to look at verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God's exchange offer. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Father, for the good song that talked about the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. As I preach about that for a little bit, I pray that you'll help me this morning. Be a blessing. Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. I pray that hearts will be ready to receive your word today. And God, that you'll command the light to shine into darkness if anybody is unsaved in this room. God, make it happen, I pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. In 1886, a professional baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday attended a service right up here in Chicago at the Pacific Garden Mission, and he got saved. Soon after that, he gave up baseball. He was one of the fastest, if not the fastest, baseball player when he was playing. And he gave up baseball and went into preaching and became one of America's most renowned evangelists for a number of years. I could say more about him, but for sake of time, I won't. It is said that when he preached, no matter where his message was in the Bible, no matter what his text was, he always had his Bible open to Isaiah chapter 61 because he claimed verse number 1 for his life verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek and so forth and so on. Now, this is what we call a messianic prophecy. A prophecy that God gave to Isaiah about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And friend, if you have any question, the answer is this. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, all right? So all the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And God gave this prophecy to Isaiah many years before Christ was born. At about age 30, Jesus walked into a synagogue. You know, he was brought up in Nazareth, right? Born in Bethlehem, brought up in Nazareth. And so he lived there amongst the people of the city of Nazareth for 30 years without performing any miracles, without preaching any messages. He just lived his life there for almost 30 years. And at age 30, he walked into one of the synagogues. The Bible says it was his custom. It was his custom. Jesus was always where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. So as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and it was evidently his day to read. And the Bible says that one of the ministers of the synagogue gave him a book, and it was the book of Isaiah. They didn't have a Bible like we have today. They didn't have all 66 books bound up in one book called the Bible like this. They had individual books or parchments or scrolls. And somebody handed Jesus the Bible, or the book that's called the book of Isaiah. He found chapter 61. Now, you didn't have chapters in those days. You didn't have verses in those days. But he found this text in Isaiah. What we know is Isaiah 61. He found the words in verses 1, 2, and 3. And he read those words. Now, understand, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have any of the Pauline epistles. They didn't even have all the Old Testament books at this point in time. They were accumulating them. But here, this right here, he read from this place right here. And the Bible says when he read from this place, he closed the book, he handed it back to the minister, and he sat down. He didn't read anymore but just those three verses. And he sat down. And the Bible says that all the eyes of the people in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus Christ. They couldn't believe it. Because he had read one of the most well-known, profound, messianic prophecies in all the Old Testament. And here this son of a carpenter, they thought, that had grown up with them for these 30 years, had just read this messianic prophecy. He sat down and all the eyes of the synagogue were fastened on him, and he said these words, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What he was saying was, boys, the Messiah is here. I am come. And I am the long-awaited, long promised, long prophesied, anointed one of God. I am the Messiah. Now, this prophecy was about 725 years before Jesus was born. Now, it is clear from verses 1 and 2 that Jesus was anointed to preach salvation to His people. Look at verse number 1. He says here that the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. You know the word good tidings? You know what those words are in the New Testament? That's the word gospel. The word gospel in the New Testament means good tidings. It means good news. It means good message. And so Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. And truly, Jesus did take the message of salvation to multitudes of people when He preached on the earth. The Bible tells us that He came to preach to His own. He came to the Jewish people. God was His Father. His mother was a Jewish woman. He came to the Jewish, and He was reared as a Jew. He was one of them, and His earthly ministry was to the Jews. In fact, in verse number 3, He talks about His ministry to the Jews who lived in Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. His message to those in Jerusalem was the same as His message in other places. It was the message of salvation. Now listen, there are many, many different things that salvation does for a person. Many different things. So many that we can't take time to preach all of them this morning. It'll absolutely, folks, take forever to talk about all that salvation does for you and me. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. But one element of salvation is mentioned here, and it is the element of exchange. Have you ever exchanged something at the store? Some of you wish you could take your wife or your husband back. Amen? But anyway, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Have you ever exchanged something at the store? Maybe you bought something that didn't fit, or you bought something that didn't work, or you bought something that wasn't what you thought it would be. It didn't do as advertised, and you took it back. And usually there's a policy, if you have the receipt, you can take it back and you can exchange it for something of equal value or lesser. Equal or lesser value. You can't take a $25 item in and exchange it for a $300 item. That'd be a wonderful thing to do, wouldn't it? You can't do that. Well, you can't take sometimes a $25 item in and exchange it for something $25 or less. That's the exchange program that most retail stores operate by. But I want to tell you something, friend. God's exchange offer is exactly opposite that. God's exchange offer is you bring Him the very lowest and He gives you the very best. You bring Him the very poorest and He gives you the richest. You bring Him the dollar and He gives you the $1 million. That's His exchange program. And I'm hurrying for sake of time this morning. Isaiah said Jesus, the Messiah, came to offer an exchange to the people of Jerusalem and to all people, really. And look at what the exchange is. Jesus said, bring me your ashes and I'll give you beauty. He said, bring me your mourning. Not M-O-R-N, not A-M, part of the day. Your mourning, your sorrow, your grief, your burdens. You bring me your mourning and I'll give you joy. You bring me your spirit of heaviness and I'll clothe you, I'll give you the garment of praise. Now, friend, every one of you can see right there, that's an upward exchange every time. That's an over-the-top exchange every time. That's what Jesus said, beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like better than cash for clunkers to me. I don't know about you, amen. That's a program that didn't work, but the exchange that Jesus came to offer works. And friends, that's exactly what happens when a sinner receives salvation. Like they just sang when the man walked down the aisle and received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When a sinner receives salvation, God exchanges our sin for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good swap. That's a pretty good exchange. I give Him my sin. He gives me the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't beat that with a stick, friend. You can't beat that with a stick. Now, by the way, now listen to this very carefully. He exchanges our sin for Jesus' righteousness. But wait a minute. Some of that, all the symptoms of sin are exchanged with our sin. You see, a symptom is the result of something else. Last week, I had a cough, and I had some watery, itchy eyes. Those of you that were here remember, I had my spectacles on last week, my regular seeing glasses instead of my contacts. I can't see with any of it, so it doesn't really matter what I wear. But anyway, I had an itchy, watery eye, and the eyes were red. I was all stuffed up. But now listen, the cough and the stuffiness and the itchy, watery eyes and all of that was not the problem. That was only the symptoms. The problem was I had a sinus infection. That's the problem. I thought it was a pink eye at first when it broke out on Wednesday. My eye was blood red, but it wasn't pink eye. It was a sinus infection that settled in my nasal cavities and infected my eyes. It was one of the worst sinus infections. And I don't know, it came on me that quick. I went to bed at 10:30 on Tuesday night, 11:30 on Tuesday night, feeling fine. Woke up at 4 in the morning, just completely all stuffed up and all that. But what you could see was just the symptom. The problem was the sinus infection. Now listen, friend, our problem is sin. And the solution to our problem is salvation. And when we get saved, not only does God forgive our sin, but He exchanges the symptoms of our sin for the symptoms of salvation. And these are wonderful exchanges. Before we look at these, I want you to notice the words in verse number three says this: to give unto them, to give unto, to give. Do you see those words? Friend, Jesus Christ is not a taker. So many people are afraid sometimes to give their life to Jesus Christ, to become a Christian, because they just say, man, if I give my life to Christ, what's He going to... Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ is not a taker. God is not a taker. God is a giver. Whatever you and I give to Him, He returns in better shape, and He does it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because He's not a taker, He's a giver. Sure He is. You look at what He asks us to bring, and look at what He gives in return. Now look at these three things here. God says, number one, bring your ashes, I'll give you beauty. I'll give you ashes, I'll give unto them beauty for ashes. So you bring your ashes and I'll give you beauty. They said, what is this? This is talking about sin's destructive nature. Sin destroys. Sin kills. Sin tears. Sin rips apart. Sin steals. Sin wounds. Sin burdens. And sin burns. You know, friend, ashes are the evidence of where a fire has been. A fire turns something that was beautiful. A fire turns something that was useful into ashes. You know how dirty and filthy an ash pile is? You know that? You ever have a bonfire out at your house and then try to clean up afterwards? All you got to do is just touch some of the ashes, and pretty soon your hands or your face or your whatever you touch it with, you become smudged with the black and there's nothing there. It's all just empty and just the ashes just... And if a strong wind comes, it just blows it all away and it's filthy and dirty and it's a smudgy. And that's what sin does to a life. Sin ruins and sin leaves useless. And sin leaves just an ash heap, if you will. That's exactly what sin does. But you know what God says? God comes along and says, look, your problem is not the ashes. Your problem is sin. And if you'll bring me sin, I'll give you Jesus' righteousness. And also, when you come with your sin, you come with your ashes, and I'll give you beauty. Because, see, that's what the righteousness of Jesus Christ does. He cleans up. He washes us. He gives us a good bath, plunging us into the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us whiter than snow. I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to trade a life that was nothing but an ash heap for a life that's beautiful. That's what God says you can do. Exchange. I like what the songwriter said in that beautiful old song. I think his name was William Cowper. He wrote these words: the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Plunge this morning, friend, into the fountain that's filled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive His righteousness, and more than that, receive beauty for ashes. If you don't think sin destroys and sin leaves people in an ash heap, I'm not talking literally. But if you don't believe that, just come on and go visiting with us one Saturday. Let's go out and knock on doors together and see what sin does to people. Just leaves an ash heap. God says, hey, I got an exchange program for you. You don't bring me ashes and I give you something of equal or lesser value. You bring me ashes and I give you beauty. That's a pretty good swap. That's a pretty good exchange. Number two, God says, you bring your mourning and I'll give you joy. And we're not talking about morning and evening here, night and day. He's talking about mourning. He's talking about sorrow. This is the teaching that sin causes sorrow. Sin causes tears to flow. Sin creates weeping, not just a little dot of a tear in the corner of the eye. It causes streams of tears to flow. Oh my, if the four walls of that conference room could talk, and that you go back down the hallway right there and get in that conference room, if the four walls of that room could talk, over from being in that room the last 10 years, the tears that have been shed, the tears that have come down cheeks of people. How many times have I had to reach for a Kleenex box? How many times have I had to reach for a napkin? How many times have I had to reach sometimes for a paper towel if we're out of Kleenexes and hand it to people? Yes, sometimes the tears come down the face because of difficulty. But more often than not, friend, the tears are coming down the cheeks because of sin. Sin has ruined. Sin has destroyed. Sin has wounded. Sin has caused sorrow. And for all of you young people who say, yeah, I suppose the adults who've done wrong, they sit in the office and cry. Let me tell you, some of the bitterest tears that have ever been shed in that room back there have come from the eyes of teenagers. Sure. And that's sad, isn't it? Come from the eyes of teenagers. Teenagers who found out that, you know what, sin promises so much but delivers so little. All the false advertising that's out there with the billboards, with all the good-looking men and the nice-looking women and the alcohol and the party life and the live it up and eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. And sometimes some of our kids looking over the fence, believe the devil's lie, look at all that sin promises, and they jump the fence and get out there and they find out there's nothing here. There's nothing here. It's like cotton candy. It's like fluff. It's gone. There's nothing to it whatsoever. It looks so green. It looks so promising. But the devil's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, the Bible says. Boy, by the time they get out there and they realize what sin has left devastation. Sin brings sorrow, and boy, they come back and sometimes they weep and the tears stream down their faces. And I don't mean just a crocodile tear. I'm sorry I got caught. I mean boys. I mean strong boys sometimes, and their chests heaving and the tears flowing down. Friend, that's the real picture of what sin delivers. Sin delivers mourning. And sin delivers sorrow. And sin delivers wounds. And sin delivers heartache. And heart trouble. And a sorrow of conscience. That's what sin gives. And boy, what a text. God says, hey, if sin has brought mourning into your life, if sin has brought sorrow into your life, sin has brought heartache into your life, you bring me that sin and bring the sorrow and the mourning with it when you get saved. I'll replace it with the oil of joy. I'll give you something to smile about. I'll give you something to sing about. I'll put a song in your heart, and He does, friend. God says, you bring me your ashes, and I'll give you beauty. God says, you bring me your sorrow, your mourning, and I'll exchange it, and I'll give you joy. That's not something of equal or lesser value, friend. That's something of far greater value. Oh, yes, it is. I'm talking about God's exchange program this morning. You bring your sin to God, and you get Jesus' righteousness. And that takes care of the problem. That's the problem. But all the symptoms of sin are exchanged with it. You bring that old ash heap, and God gives you a beautiful and useful life. I'm looking out this morning at people sitting in these pews who some years ago your life was useless. God's made something beautiful out of it, hasn't He? Something wonderful out of it. In fact, the guy you're looking at, 36 years ago, my life was an ash heap. All reason for living, just... But brother, when you bring that to God, He doesn't give you something of equal or lesser value. He gives you something far more wonderful. He can make something beautiful out of a wasted life. He can give you joy for your mourning. Let me hasten to say number three this morning. God says, bring your ashes, I'll give you beauty. God says, bring your mourning, I'll give you joy. And then God says, bring your heaviness, and I'll give you praise. Because, see, sin not only destroys, and not only does sin cause sorrow, but sin burdens down. Sin weighs your spirit down. Sin shackles you. Sin binds you. Sin closes you in and gives you a spirit of heaviness and grief and sorrow. And by the way, that's why sometimes people turn to alcohol and turn to promiscuous living and turn to the drug life. It's so they can escape the heaviness of a life that's destroyed by sin. But you can only escape for a few hours. It's only a temporary escape, and it's not even an escape. When you come off of that high, or you get done with that night spent in illicit living, or you come off of that drunk, it's worse than it was before. It's horrible. It's awful. Sin brings that kind of heaviness. Sin brings that kind of destruction. Sin brings those kinds of suicidal thoughts. And I'll just end my life. Let me say something. Suicide is never of God. Never. And God says, you bring me that spirit of heaviness, and I'll give you the garment of praise. You come to me with your sin and exchange it for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And along with that, I'll take that spirit of heaviness that accompanies sin, and I'll give you the garment of praise. You'll have a reason to smile. You'll have a reason to sing. You'll have a reason to laugh. You won't be heavy. There will be lightness. You'll feel it in your heart. You'll feel it in your soul. God says, I'll put on you a garment of praise. And by the way, friends, sometimes we think that the only people who really suffer the ashes and the mourning and the heaviness is the down and out crowd, the crowd that has nothing. Let me tell you something. The crowd that lives in those $500,000 homes and those $750,000 homes, a lot of times they experience the same thing. Because sin plays no favorites. They might have a house that drops your jaw when you drive by, but if you could open the door and live in that place within the four walls of that house, you'd find out there's as much ashes and as much mourning and as much heaviness right here in this $750,000 home as there is in the ghetto down in Kankakee. That's right. Talk to some of these girls who nanny for these folks up here. $750,000 homes. There's no joy. $750,000 homes. But a life that's an ash. Full of mourning, full of sorrow, full of heaviness. Because sin plays no favorites. I don't care if you've got a dollar in your pocket or $1,000,000. Sin tears and sin wounds and sin destroys and sin hurts. But we have a great God who says, bring me all of that. And I won't give you something of equal or lesser value. I'll give you something of greater value. Sure. That's why some of the happiest people in the world live in the most modest of homes sometimes. They found out it's not the home you live in, the car you drive. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. If you can have that and have salvation, that's wonderful. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's not found there. And that's what God said. God said, look, He said, your problem is you've got a sin problem. The ashes and the mourning and the heaviness, those are all symptoms. The root problem is the sinus infection. The root problem is not the watery eyes. The root problem is not the stuffy nose. The root problem is not the coffee, the scratchy throat and the cough. The root problem is the sinus infection. The root problem is sin. It's in our nature. It's us. It's us. That's the root problem. And the symptoms are ashes, and the symptoms are mourning, and the symptoms are heaviness. And God says, you bring all of that to me, and I'll exchange it for beauty and for joy and for praise. And of course, besides all that, you get the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my son. That's an exchange program you'd be foolish to turn down, friend. 36 years ago, I experienced all of that. 36 years ago, I knew what it was to have a life that was nothing but ashes. I would be embarrassed for you to go back with me to age 15, 16, 17, and 18. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of it. I'd be embarrassed for you to see it and see the ash heap that was Terry Angel. And some of you are there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Ashes. Mourning. As an 18-year-old boy, sometimes crying myself to sleep. What in the world has an 18-year-old boy got a reason to cry for? I'll tell you why. When you're 18, you're out there trying to find the answer to joy and peace and happiness and lightness in your soul and all the things that the world has to offer, the rock concerts and the music and all the junk that the world has. And you find out that it's all just a pipe dream. You cry yourself to sleep. And the spirit of heaviness, until I walked that aisle like they sang, and brought my sin to the Savior Jesus Christ, and God exchanged my sin for His righteousness. And you know what, friend? I know you're not saved by feeling, but when I got up off of my knees at that altar, I knew something had taken place in my heart life. Oh, there have been times of sorrow since then. Times of heaviness since then, but it's always associated with some backslidden condition. When I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have fellowship with Him and reason to sing and reason to praise and reason to live and reason for joy. I'm just telling you something, friend. It's the greatest exchange program on planet Earth. It's the greatest exchange program on planet Earth. Now, here's the thing that so many people miss. Listen very carefully. I'm coming down to the close. You bring to God what you have. You don't try to get better first. You don't try to fix this or fix that first. You come just as you are. If all you got's ashes this morning, if all of you got it, if all you have is sorrow, if all you have is the heaviness, if all you have is your sin, you don't have to go to church for 6 weeks to get things better before you go to God's exchange window. You come just like you are. You come with what you have. That's what He said. You bring to Me the ashes. Don't go out and try to make something out of the ashes. Because you know what you'll do? You'll get all wrapped up in that. And you won't come. You'll get so busy trying to make something out of the ashes, you won't come to Me. Don't go out and try to get rid of the mourning yourself. Don't go out and try to drown your sorrow in the stuff that the world has to offer. You'll get hooked on that. You won't come to Me. Don't go out and try to get rid of the spirit of heaviness yourself. Don't try to free yourself from sin's bondage. Come to Me. You bring your ashes. You bring your mourning. You bring your heaviness. You bring your sin. And you come to Me. I'm going to give you His righteousness. And I'm going to give you beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, and the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's a pretty good exchange, friend. That's the honest truth, brother. You come just as you are. Years ago, there was a lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte Elliott was an invalid who lived in England. And one day they had as a house guest in their home a doctor from Geneva, Switzerland, by the name of Dr. Malan, M-A-L-A-N. Dr. Malan was saved. He's a born-again Christian. Throughout the course of the day, he tried to witness to the people that were in the Elliott household. And he witnessed to Charlotte Elliott, who was an invalid in a wheelchair. And he said to her, he said, Charlotte, he said, have you ever trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever come to Christ and accepted His salvation? Have you ever done that? Listen, she thought the question was rude. She thought it was presumptuous. And it made her angry. And she changed the topic of conversation to something immediately. And in fact, ended the conversation and went her way. But the Spirit of God began to work on her heart. And hours later, she went and found Dr. Malan, still a house guest in the house. And she said to Dr. Malan, she said, just a little while ago, you told me, you asked me the question, have I ever come to Jesus for salvation? She said, look at me. How can I come? And he answered, you come just as you are. She gave her heart to Jesus that day and got saved. And sometime later, sat down with a pen and wrote the words, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. And that was the whole theme of that song. You come as you are. You don't take time to fix things up and change this and change that. Bring your ashes, bring your mourning, bring your sorrow, bring your heaviness, bring your bondage. Oh my goodness, if you could have seen me at 36 years ago, it was like I had 10 and 20 and 30 foot chains wrapped all over my body. I was all bound up by the sin, all bound up by my sin. You just bring all of that, the best you can, your sin to Christ, realizing that He died on the cross to pay the debt for you, was buried and rose again 3 days later to prove that He is the Son of God with power. You bring that sin to Him and all of that mess that comes with sin. And God's exchange program is this. You bring your sin, you get His righteousness, and I'll give you beauty for ashes and joy for mourning and the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's a pretty good exchange. That's a pretty good exchange. I wonder, friend, let me ask you the question that Dr. Malin asked Charlotte Elliott many years ago, late 1800s. Have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever come to Christ? I'd ask you if you ever joined the church. Have you ever come to Christ? Like I asked you if you ever had your name on a church roll, have you ever come to Christ? I'm going to tell you this morning, friend. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ this morning to just bring what you are and bring what you have to Him and give it to Him. And I'll promise you, on the authority of this book right here, He will do for you what He said He would. He will give you the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That'll take care of the problem, and then He'll take care of all the symptoms as well. He'll take care of all the ashes, all the sorrow, and all the heaviness. You'll leave today beautiful, praising God with joy in your soul. That's a pretty good exchange. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I wonder if there's somebody here today. Let's start off by asking this question. I wonder how many here today would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know I'd spend eternity in heaven because I have come to Jesus. I can take you to the place. I may not remember the exact hour or the exact day, but I know. There's been a time when I brought my sin to Jesus Christ. All I'm going to ask you to do is be honest today. Just be honest before God. How many would say, Pastor Angel, I know. I've done that. I have come to Christ with my sin, received salvation. Would you raise your hand, please? You know that you've done that. Now just be honest, please. Don't be dishonest because you can't get help if you're dishonest. Thank you. Take your hand down. I wonder this morning, sitting across the auditorium, was there anybody here that would say, Brother Angel, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor, if I'm saved. I don't know. This coming to Christ, I've got a Bible somewhere in my house. I've been to church a few times. And I pray every morning and say, God bless my day. But I'm not talking about that, friend. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about being born again. That gives you the assurance of heaven and gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. That's this coming to Jesus. I'm not sure I've done that. Pray for me. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand this morning, put it in the air, and I'll pray for you while we wait just for a moment. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. May take it down. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure. I've come to Christ. Pray for me. Anybody else on the main floor, in the balcony, side to side? Front to back, anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, member, or visitor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right, I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. Very good. I appreciate your honesty. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody is looking. Right now, let me just ask these people that raised a hand today to look at me. Just raise your head and look at me right from where you sit. God bless you. The most important thing you'll ever do in life is come to Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing about it is you come just as you are. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We have ladies that know how to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. This is what happened to me 36 years ago. I let somebody show me from the Bible how to be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Why don't you come right now? We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Just step out and come right now while we wait. You can do that. That's great. Just come on. That's right. God bless you. That's wonderful. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Anybody else needs to come this morning? Yes, I'm not sure, Pastor. I'm saved. I'm not sure. All I have maybe is ashes. All I have maybe is sorrow. Maybe all I have is a spirit of heaviness. But I'll come and take the righteousness of Jesus Christ and all He has to offer. Anybody else? Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I think I've been saved. I know I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. In deep water, pray for me. Somebody like that this morning, you raise your hand. I've been saved, but I've not been baptized yet in obedience to the command of Christ. Anybody like that today while we wait? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody? I want to pray for you. All right. I'm going to pray for these that have come. Lord Jesus in heaven, thank you so much for your righteousness that, Lord, takes care of our sin problem. And thank you for being, God, so gracious. And when the sin problem gets fixed, all the symptoms do as well. Lord, thank you for salvation so rich and so free. And thank you for the beauty that comes with it. And thank you for the joy and for the spirit of praise. Lord, I look out over this auditorium this morning and I see so many lives that you've changed by your grace through the salvation that's in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for that. Speak to the hearts this morning. If anybody else is lost, I pray that you'll touch their heart in a special way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've saved and baptized and you've been coming to church, you know this is the place that God wants you to join and be a member, then you've talked to myself or somebody on the pastoral staff, then you come. Or maybe you need to come and make an appointment to talk to us about membership. Then, child of God, I didn't preach to save people this morning, but let me say this. Aren't you glad that this offer doesn't end at salvation? If you mess your life up, you can come back to God and He'll exchange those ashes and that mourning and that heaviness for beauty and joy and praise. What a generous and gracious God we serve. Heavenly Father, I love you today. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. As these ladies and Brother Nelson sang a little bit ago, when you look at us, you see the Lamb. You see the Son of God. You see the righteousness of Christ. Thank you for all that comes with that. Bless, I pray, this message to our hearts today in Jesus' name.